Hello and welcome to the DLT podcast. My name's Andrew Williamson.
And I'm Mel Cashin. This episode's part of a series that's going to focus on digital learning and teaching across Victoria and across the world. We've got some exciting podcasts planned for the rest of 2017. And these will include talking to some authors of the articles in our DLTV journal, some keynotes from the DigiCon conference, and also just finding out what's happening in some of our member schools and what people are up to.
Tonight, we are very excited to have Beck Spink join us. Beck is an assistant principal at Aitken Creek Primary School and co-founder of Code the Future, a not-for-profit connecting in schools and industry. And we can announce here on our podcast that she will also be keynote of our DigiCon 17 conference. Welcome, Beck.
Thanks, Andrew and Mel. It's great to be here.
So, Beck, I forgot to mention your website. That is Code Future, is that right?
Codefuture.org, yep.
Codefuture.org, thank you, yep. Thank you. So, Beck, thanks for coming along. I was just wondering if you could tell us all about things Code the Future. What do you do and how does it work?
Sure. So Code the Future, as you mentioned, is a not-for-profit organisation, and we've been operating mainly out of Melbourne for the last couple of years, but we work in schools right across Australia, but we're mostly, most of our schools are currently in Melbourne. And we were kind of born out of a startup weekend in 2014, and that's where I met my co-founder, Will Egan. And Will is a digital marketer for a nursing education company called Ausmed. And Will was at this startup weekend, and the great thing about this startup weekend was it was a education-focused weekend, yet it pulled people from all sorts of industries. So there were teachers there as well as, you know, coders and designers and all sorts of entrepreneurial business types. And on the Friday night, Will pitched an idea about kids and coding, and he was talking about how, you know, he was helping his younger sister with some IT homework, and you know, he noticed that not a lot of the stuff had changed since he was at school, and he started to question, well, kind of, you know, the world's changed a lot since he was at school. Why are they still learning it? You know, why is it relevant? What's happening? And I really resonated with that because I had recently been teaching a Year 5/6 class, and they had wanted to do all these build these apps to do with some of the learning that was happening in the class at the time, and they were really excited to start building these apps, and they designed it and come up with some great ideas and really thought a lot about it and come to me with, you know, design images drawn and wireframes and things like that, and pitched this idea to me, which I thought was fantastic. But the best that I could do for them at the time was find a template app builder, which meant that all my students were really doing after they had their idea, which was really great, was copy and pasting information into this app builder. And that didn't really sit well with me because I felt that they'd lost a lot of learning, or there could have been so much more potential. So with that in mind, Will and I, we became a team and kind of talked about those kind of two things more and realized that there was a bridge that could be built between getting industry into schools. And Will had been volunteering at a school in Essendon, working with some kids there. So he'd experienced the success of that firsthand. So what we decided to do was build a web platform, which is codefuture.org, that basically connects teachers and schools with people actually working in the coding, developing, software development industry. And what happens is they connect and they meet, and then the coding mentor goes into schools and actually works with kids. So that's a bit of a long-winded explanation, but that's kind of how we came about and what we've managed to build in the last couple of years.
So, Beck, it's really interesting, like, you're talking a lot around coding, and there's obviously Code the Future and talking about coding in your title. So why coding? Like, is that what all we can expect from Code the Future? And why have you sort of gone down that road of coding?
That's a really good question, and I don't think it's definitely all you can expect from what we do. Vision is to empower children to solve real world problems through learning to code. So we're not just focused on kids learning to code for the sake of it. It's about encouraging students to identify problems that in their local communities or their schools or things that they're passionate about, and giving them the technological skills to be able to solve those problems in authentic and meaningful ways. You know, we live in a world that is increasingly digital. We can't avoid technology in this day and age, and I don't think we should either, and I don't think we should want to. And our kids, you know, they're using technology all of the time. You know, they know how to use it, but I often wonder about how much. You know, they actually understand how it works or understand how to actually create and make and build with the technology rather than just using it. And so I suppose that's the whole reason why we think that coding is important, because it teaches kids about how technology works. It gives them the skills to be able to solve and create digital solutions to actual problems in our world, and it's a really great way for students to develop lots of other problem-solving skills, computational thinking skills, design thinking, systems thinking, which is all part of the new Australian curriculum digital technologies. So there are so many positives to bringing this kind of teaching and learning into schools.
Yeah, that's great. Can you share with us some of the types of partnerships you've had at Code the Future?
Sure. So we've had such a range and variety, and I love, you know, we have this feed that every time a new project goes live on the site, you know, I get to see it instantly. And I just love seeing the different types of things that teachers are coming up with or kids are coming up with that are getting posted on our site. And I think it's really exciting to see the different things. So we've had a range. So our very first project that we ever connected a couple of years ago was simply a lunchtime code club. But what's really special about that project is that it was our first one connected, and the volunteer coding mentor still goes in to this day. So we're here 2 and a bit years later. And so that connection's been really strong. So that's just like a lunchtime code club with primary school kids, and they're using things like Scratch and Bitsbox to learn those foundational coding skills. Another really great one we've had is at University High, with some year 9 students, and their teacher posted a project on our website called Bringing Beekeeping into the Digital Age. And this was a really exciting project because the kids were actually keeping bees at the school and then decided they wanted to sell their honey from those, from the beehives. And then they, designed and created and built this website alongside one of our coding mentors that was actually going into the school on a regular basis to help them out. We've had a robotics club as well, so similar to the first one, a lunchtime club, where kids have been learning about Lego Mindstorms and creating and building with those. We've had kids build autonomous vehicles and smart cities. We've had actual subjects written. So I know one of the high schools in Essendon actually created a year 9 elective subject using some of our coding mentors going in and volunteering and working alongside the teachers. We've had kids designing and building apps around sustainability unit that they were working on. And there's a really great blog post on the Code the Future blog with from Michelle Gleason, who is one of our volunteers, and she shares about how you know, she hadn't been into a classroom since she was, you know, probably 8 years old herself, and how, you know, what they learnt by going in and working with these young kids, and what they were able to do and create. So that was really exciting. So I often get asked the question, what kind of, you know, things can teachers put on the site? And the possibilities are endless. You know, I've just told you about, you know, some of the different things that are going up. So really, if you can dream it, think it, or want to do it, put it up there, and we'll try our best to find somebody to get out into the schools and help out.
Well, it sounds like it's a real two-way relationship. It sounds like both students and teachers and the industry people get a lot out of the partnerships.
Definitely. One of the really key things is about, for us, is to create those collaborative partnerships between teachers and the coding mentors, because we don't think it should be, you know, all or one responsibility kind of thing. It should be those two people working together, or groups, depending on how many volunteers, and actually, you know, discussing, you know, what do we want the kids to learn? Why do we want them to learn it? How could we get them there? What do we need to do to help them be successful, I suppose? And, you know, sometimes the coding mentors come out and they haven't worked with children before, so they need that the support from the teachers there for the teaching and the pedagogy side of things. And then we've got teachers that might not have, you know, the technological understanding at all to be able to help the kids. So that's where, you know, that bridge is really built between the educator and developer. So it's that relationship is really important.
I think that is a really important thing, Beck. And Andrew, I'm not sure if you realise, but we've had a few at my school where we've had some connections with Code the Future. And one of them that we did was around having our girls in tech. So we had a tech girls group in our school leaders, and we invited along some women from the IT industry just to have a morning tea with them, with our girls, and they asked some really interesting questions about what it was like to be female in this sort of industry, and what skills that they could draw from the mentors that came out. But when the girls sort of left and I was talking to our mentors, they were like really re-inspired to go back out and to talk about things in their industry and to share the experience that they'd had as well. So I think it has been like that two-way relationships is really, really important for what you're doing at Code the Future.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that example, and how, you know, as soon as these coding mentors are going out into schools and they're having great experiences, it is just prompting them to go out and volunteer for more and more and more, as much as they can, of course, because they are mostly all working. So we're really lucky to have such a great, you know, network of volunteers out there. It's exciting.
So, Beck, how do teachers get involved? What sort of, can you give some advice on the best way to do it for people who are listening?
Yeah, definitely. It's really easy. You just need to go to codefuture.org. You need to sign up to the website, and then when you do that, there's a big purple button at the top that says create a project. And when you create a project, there's a few different options. So all you need to do is put in your school information, the location, and then there's a section that says select your project. Now, what's interesting here is there are some options. So you can create your own, which means, you know, you can put in all of those things that I was talking about before. If you've got, you want to bring beekeeping to the digital age, you can go ahead and write something like that. If you've got something specific in mind that you want to do, all you need to do is type it in. You know, we would like a coding mentor to come out and help our students create their own whatever they want to create. We also have a few templates there. So we have a partnership with Code Club Australia as well. So Code Club Australia is an organisation that supports coding clubs for students who are 9 to 12 years old, and they learn the fundamentals of coding mostly through Scratch. And they're extracurricular clubs. And so what happens is we kind of have a mutual agreement where with code clubs you get provided all of the resources and things like that. So you actually don't need a coding mentor, but sometimes it's really helpful. So that's why we thought it would be great to get involved with those guys. We also then have another partnership with Tech Girls Are Superheroes. So we've got a template there because that search for the 2017 Tech Girl Superhero starts in May, I think, this year. And they're already taking registrations. And that's a 12-week entrepreneurial program where kids, girls actually design an app solution for a problem in their local community. And you know, we had a few projects with them last year, and we had our volunteer coding mentors going in and helping these girls with their projects. We also have some guest speaker templates as well. So if you just want somebody once to come in, you can put in a guest speaker face-to-face template, or we also have an online option as well. So sometimes it's really hard for our volunteers to maybe get time off work and things like that, but they still really want to give back and help out. So the online thing is a great option as well. And I know, Mel, you had that with your Tech Girls last year as another kind of option when your volunteer couldn't get there as much as, you know, was possible.
Yeah, that's right. It was good too because it gave the girls the skills of being able to actually work online. So when they were working with their mentor, that that they could have that conversation and organise things like setting up a calendar invite and going through the process of doing that. And it was actually quite funny at the time because our mentor kept dropping out. So the frustration of the girls on the other side to work out how to sort of deal with some of that troubleshooting was really good.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I mean, we work like that in our everyday life. So it's really great that we're opening that kind of way of working up to the students in our schools. And then at the moment,
we certainly have work that way in a podcast as well.
Definitely. The last template we currently have up at the moment is one called Code a Game, where we're providing kind of some project overview template kind of things where teachers are provided with a series of possible lessons that could be used to help students and teachers and the coding mentors to code a game, basically. So what happens with that one is once the project gets connected with a mentor, we'll send you out the resources for you to get started. And it's just pretty straightforward. They're quite basic lessons and they're designed to be a springboard. They don't have to be used you know, as written. In fact, I'd love for people to get what we've put together and change it and tell me how it goes and, you know, contribute to our blog and share how you've changed it and what you did. So there are lots and lots of options. And then once you've done all of that, you've put all of your details in, all the teacher needs to do is list the project. What happens then is we've tried to automate our platform as much as we can at the moment, and so that will then spit out to all of our coding mentors within your location. They get an email notification, and then if they're available, they can go on and apply for your project. The teacher then gets an application, and it's all done online, and they can either accept or reject the application depending on the suitability of the volunteer. One thing that we really do advocate for is to double check that the coding mentor has a working with children's check. We do advocate for that, but we also encourage the schools to do that as well.
Well, thanks for joining us, Beck. It's been great to hear about the work of Code the Future and how we can get involved. We look forward to seeing you on stage at DigiCon 17.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, it was really great to be here.
Yes, and talking about DigiCon, we can announce that we've got some dates set for this year's DigiCon conference. We're very excited to have Beck joining us along with a number of other keynotes that will be announced in the coming weeks. So you can join us at DigiCon on the 27th and 28th of July, And this year we've got a brand new venue. So we'll be heading over to the Australian Catholic University in Melbourne, and we've got a really superb venue organised there with some brand new learning environments, and it's really set out perfectly for our conference, so we're looking forward to that. If you do want to be involved in the conference, we'd love to hear some of the stories of what people are doing in their schools around Victoria, and to be able to share some of the knowledge that that our members and people have. So if you would like to come and present, we've got expressions of interest open at the moment, where all you need to do is just jot down a few ideas of what you're thinking, and then we'll be in touch to sort of talk to you more about a presentation. So if you'd like any of those details, that can be found on the DigiCon website at digicon.vic.edu.au.
And don't forget to check out codefuture.org website, as well as go to the dltv.vic.edu.au website, where you'll also find other great resources for members and for non-members. But also check out, you can find our podcast at the same website, just /podcasts.
Okay, Andrew, well, that was our first podcast. Very excited now for the things that we've got coming up. So we've got a few things in the pipelines, and I look forward to joining you again.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Mel. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And please make sure that you share this podcast with your networks using the hashtag DLTV Podcast. Bye.